Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on April 10th, 2016, and is entitled, You Remind Me of Someone.
Let's get our bulletins. The back of the bulletins, you'll see today's message. Today's message, if you've been with us, you'll know we've been going through a Sunday series, and that series is Building a Forever Faith, Building a Forever Faith. And we've been going through 1 Peter. We're going to go through 1 and 2 Peter, and we're right there at chapter 2. So I'm opening my Bible to 1 Peter, and he's been talking to us about what it is to just submit and work with government, work with management. If you were with us last time, we were talking about how to be one of those best employees ever, even when it's a harsh environment. And so how many know we could have some hard times working with people? Sometimes the hardness can actually be ourselves. Isn't that true? Cute little joke about the guy who was rescued off a deserted island. When they finally sent the rescue rafts on shore, this one little sole survivor on the island said, "How did you find me? How did you find me?" And the rescuer said, "From the plane, we saw three Quonset huts. And so how was that?" He said, "What are those three huts? Are you the only one on the island?" And he says, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, what's this hut?" He said, "Well, that's where I live. That's my home." He said, "Well, what's the next hut?" He said, "Well, that's my church. That's a church I attend." "Really? Church? All by yourself?" "Yeah, it's the church I attend." "What's the third hut?" He said, "Well, that's the church I used to attend." Sometimes we don't even get along with ourselves. Isn't that how it is? We'll just move on. So it's an amazing thing when we get a chance to see how God's word starts to speak to us, because the great example is really Jesus, and that's where Peter, by the Holy Spirit, is now addressing. How do you work with those things that come and make it life difficult? Who would be our example? And that example is Jesus. And that's where we're taking a look. Today's message is entitled, You Remind Me of Someone. That's the message. We're going to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 25. We're going to finish off this chapter together. I mean, have you ever had that? I've had people say, "You know, you remind me of somebody." You know, remember the old teacher after the bell or whatever that was? "I remember you used to remind me." And probably the greatest compliment could be that you remind me of Jesus. If you've ever had, isn't it? And it's not because we don a beard, or we have a robe, or somehow this walking stick. But there's something of the personality that starts to ooze out. Where does that happen? Where does that image of Jesus happen? Probably sometimes in the most difficult situations, where people say, "Well, let's see if this Jesus thing's working for you when life isn't so good." Well, we certainly need the Lord's help. And right away, it's like, "Lord, help me, help me." Let's pray as we typically do before we even read the word. Father, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, thank you for the hope that you've already inspired us with during our worship. And that, Lord, we know you have more for us, as you are eternal. Your kingdom is eternal. And your promises, they will always stand forever. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look for a moment here at verse 12, this was the hinge verse that we've been looking at. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." So isn't it interesting? Have your conduct honorable among, let's just say this, the pagans, the unbelievers. And he starts to deal with the aspect of submission when we are looking at submit yourselves, verse 13, therefore submit yourself. And he was talking about every ordinance of man. Man, to the government, last week we were dealing with, man, those harsh kinds of employers. Submit yourself. Now, that's probably, there's a few words that just kind of cut across the grain of our lives as believers. Isn't it just kind of, ugh? And that one of them is the word submission. There are some other words that just don't work very well either, and it cuts across who we are, and we just don't like it. So here's some words. The word foreclosure. Hate that word. There's another word. Here's another one. It says you're fired. How many like that word? I don't like that. Another one, inoperable. And another word that's really tough for humans is the word submission. In other words, Lord, what is it that you're wanting to work in my life? So let's look here at verse 21, because this is now the reason why. It gives us motivation and say, okay, I understand. I have someone I can follow a pattern. Verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. When we look here, here's a couple of quick statements to apply. When we say, man, who do you remind me of? Let's take a look at a couple of them, five of them. Number one on your notes, you can see it. Like Jesus, live with endurance. Look at verse 21 again. Here we go. Like Jesus with endurance. Verse 24, to this you were called. Now that's a kicker for me. Called, I'm called. Called to what? Well, we're following a suffering servant. Gave his life for you. And I like messages that bring prosperity and hope. It just draws me and draws people. But then you come across passages like this and says, listen, to this you were called at times to suffer. Because Jesus, it says here, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Leaving us an example. And that put up with is literally that example where you come, it's hupagramos in the Greek word, which means you're going to kind of pattern in the same footprints continuously. It really is the same direction. The Greeks used to, when they were teaching the ABCs, I remember doing this in kindergarten and first grade, I remember stenciling the ABCs. You had little transparencies, little bit of parchments that you saw the letters underneath, and you kind of traced them. That's really what that word means, leaving you an example. God's given you something that if you sketch underneath, those letters will pop up. You have an example that's coming and being exposed to you. Wow, that's really what Peter is trying to describe here. Tracing your behavior in life because you're following Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, 12 says this, Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, this is one of those messages today. That there's going to be times. The reason why we picked 1 Peter and 2 Peter is because we've recognized early on before this calendar year hit, 2012, that our nation, and especially the Christians, could be facing some real suffering. And Peter is addressing a group that is suffering. We saw that the very first two verses of chapter 1. He's talking to those Christians that are running for their life because they're being persecuted. This could happen maybe in our own city. Certainly happening in other parts of the world. Everybody agree with that, isn't that true? So this letter would be very applicable to some of our church membership in some of the Middle East. But we haven't experienced it yet, but it's certainly something that we're feeling the Lord is saying to us, that there could be persecution coming. And if you ever want to share, hey, I really kind of value good morals, you could get yourself a little bit of harsh treatment. You find Matthew chapter 5. Let's go to the left there. Find Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Matthew chapter 5, first book in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, it is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, isn't that great? First thing he taught Christians or the church or the followers, was how to have a good attitude. I think that's amazing, don't you? Never taught them how to open the eyes of the blind or raise the dead. Taught them how to just have good attitudes. I remember teaching on the Beatitudes, and I had to pull my little daughter at the time, Emily, aside because she was picking on her brother big time. I mean, it just, and I said, sweet Emily, come here, honey. I said, Jesus wants you to have a good attitude. And the way you're treating Luke here, this is not good. Do you get what I'm saying? You want to be loving to your brother. You have any questions, Emily? She says, yes, Dad. I said, what's that, sweetie? So the next time that we can have this talk, will you brush your teeth? I lost my attitude. Just, what? And so when those things happen, it's an amazing thing. You didn't get a thing I was saying. Sometimes attitude is so important, isn't it? And we see here in Matthew chapter 5, when we see here in verse 10, he comes along and he says this very clearly, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, verse 11, when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. How many know that's a good thing? Falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great, I circled the word great, is your reward in heaven. For though they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So there's going to come time. You might face some real persecution if you have not already. Peter's addressing this. We're living in a society, in a world that does have an anti-Christ spirit. We're not talking about church or religion. Just when you bring up Jesus, people flip out. And so we're looking here about what Jesus, like Jesus, with patience, even when you're being harshly treated by people or environments. Let's look at number two. Like Jesus, forego vengeance. Look at verse 22. I'm back at 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. Now, he's quoting here Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9. Peter's quoting, man, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. Isaiah's prophesying, this is the mannerism with which Jesus is going about. Man, he forego vengeance. He could have. Matter of fact, he was the one that says, don't worry, I could have called down 12 legions of angels to rescue me. Don't go trying to rescue me here. 12 legions, that is quite a group. That is approximately about 72,000 angels. About that when he was being falsely accused, even by Pilate. Remember that? Pilate's asking him, and he states that so clearly, comes along there in Mark 15:4. Don't you have anything to say? Don't you have anything to say to your accusers? Don't you have anything in a rebuttal? So Jesus, and he was falsely accused. How many remember that? He was accused of being an evildoer. He was accused of being a deceiver. He was accused of being an illegitimate child. He was accused of being a blasphemer. He was accused of being one that's going to destroy this temple. And then in 3 days, raised up. Man, people are out there talking about him. And he forego vengeance. It's an amazing thing about what Jesus was doing and allowing. And then Peter comes along. He's seeing Jesus, and he decides to ask him this question in Matthew 18, 21, 22. In Matthew 18, 21, remember that? He said, hey, Lord, how many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times. Remember that? And that sounds like a really pretty cool, righteous guy. 7 times you get away with things. Then you punch his peepers. Jesus says, no, up to 70 times 7. Just keep forgiving. See, the kingdom stuff is altogether different. It makes you want to say, oh, Lord, toughen me up in a right way. I am not able to do this. You've got to be kidding me. This is one of those methods. Like, this is why I just really didn't want to be a Christian, because I'm going to be viewed as some little milquetoast human being. Something sweet about vengeance, isn't it? It feels good. It really does. I mean, just come on. It's more fun to get even. I like those movies. I may not be able to do it because of my faith in God, but I sure like it when the hero gets back. And they're just, whew. But in real life, Jesus forego vengeance. Something about Frederick Buchner. He's an author. He said this, because forgiveness is easy to preach and listen to sermons on, but man, try living it out. He says this. Of the 7 deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to savor to the last toothsome morsel. In many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. I don't know if you've ever just said, man, I just am going to hang on to my grievance. And if that's the case, I grieve for you. I deal with people that I call them, they are bitter. They're bitter, bitter people. And it doesn't take much for me to misstep. And it's as if I've got all H-E double toothpick coming at me. They're just bitter. And if that's you today, then I would just pray, dear Lord, set them free. Just give that up. Turn it over. You don't want that. Number three, rest in confidence. Like Jesus, in confidence. It's in an interesting. Look at verse 23 again. It says this, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return, which means they were saying some pretty terrible things. But he did not say any terrible things back. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And that's the byword there. He committed himself. In other words, that word commit means to let go, to turn it over, just lay it down. Because I believe God's going to take care of this thing. It's not a pleasant experience, but I'm committing my life to you, Lord, on this one. I could go after it with vengeance, but I'm not. I'm not. Matter of fact, he was always willing to commit his life to the Lord. Even on the cross, remember when that was taking place? In Luke 23, 46, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I mean, I'm just trusting you all the way. How does this happen? One of the things that I have found is a great strength to me is I found what Jesus does. Would you write down Luke chapter 5, verse 16? Luke 5, 16. It literally says that Jesus himself withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. That's the verse. Jesus often himself withdrew into the wilderness to pray. God speaking to God. Paul needs to speak to God. If you aren't praying and you go about these issues of life, and life has them, you're going to find you might want to start taking matters into your own hands only to come up barren, wretched. Sometimes having that problem and issue last much longer than you would ever imagine. How is this going on for years and years? Wouldn't it be great that somebody says, man, you sure look like Jesus, even while you're going through this? I have had a few episodes in my life. Actually, as a pastor, when you're sitting helping somebody in a very quiet, tranquil setting, just spiritual direction and counsel, you say, hey, you need to stop this. Word says, stop this. That person doesn't want to stop that. Then all of a sudden, they could broadcast around town, what a terrible guy I am. Now, I cannot rebuttal. That would be a breach of confidentiality. Can you see the complex scene situation sometimes pastors have themselves in? I've actually had phone calls. Hey, I hear this about you from this person that left your church. Can you imagine? Just hope you know me enough that that's just not the full truth. That's just not the full truth. Well, why don't you tell me? I can't. I'm not going to go into it. But you just have to know my heart. I hope you know me long enough that, hey, this is when relationships matter most. And so that's important to take hold of and rest in confidence what the Lord is doing and saying, Lord, I trust you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. 4:19 says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. I'll underline that. I was like, what? Let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. That's a great verse. Lord, I commit my soul to you. This is even over my ability. But Lord, will you take care of this? Will you work that through? Let's look at number four. Hey, like Jesus, love with extravagance, like Jesus. Look at verse 24. I'm back there at chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Talk about that. I mean, when you look here for a moment, Jesus just didn't endure. He just didn't put up with people. He just said, I'm going to now even give my life for those same people. Remember, as he's hanging on the cross, forgive them, Father. They really don't know what they're doing. Unbelievable love. Unbelievable love. And here, that's why Peter's bringing it. Who himself bore our sins in his own body. I will take what you're doing at me and I'll apply it to myself. I enjoy Romans 5:8. It's a great verse. Romans 5:8, you want to write that down. It says this, but God demonstrated his own love toward us. And that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. What an amazing deal of love. Can you imagine loving your enemies? Isn't that what the scriptures would encourage us to do? Really love our enemies? I mean, we're supposed to love everybody. Isn't that right? Isn't that true? It's amazing. And then if we even have enemies, we have to love them. I mean, that's a great word for people getting married. You're going to love them all the time, right? Yes. What if they become your enemies? We're over. No, you're supposed to love your enemies. Any which way you look at it, you will love. Will you love? Yes, I guess I will. You can be a fabulous doctor and not love your patients. You can be a great lawyer and not love your clients. You can be an amazing scientist and really not even love science. You just kind of do it because it's your work. You can't be a Christian without loving people. It is a product of love. You can't be a Christian. You can be a churchgoer, but we're talking a Christ follower. That sometimes you might even bear the marks of what it is to work with and deal with people. You say, well, I really need some help. Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Can you find Galatians? If you see 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, go to the right a little bit more to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23. I know you're writing it down. I'm just so excited when you get into many church settings and you just kind of learn together what God's showing you. Galatians 5:22. Look what the fruit of the Spirit. These things grow in our lives because of the presence of God. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. When people say, there's just no way I can do this. There is no way. I believe that. There's no way I can do it. Matter of fact, I succumb to a lot of things. But there's something of the nature of God called His Spirit in me, in you, that love comes out. I like that. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 7, 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. Love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I don't have that kind of love, and neither do you. But the Spirit of God can give that kind of love to you. And that's where I want to encourage you. If you were to look at chapter 5 of Galatians, very important in verse 13. Look at verse 13 as you move all the way back up to that chapter. It says, for you, brethren, talking to Christians, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Sometimes our liberty, even as Peter's writing, we say, see, I can do anything I want. Well, that's true, but we're not to use that kind of liberty. We're free from things that suck us backwards, so we can actually be an amazing person to hang out with and experience and be like Jesus to people, because they're never going to come into Hope Chapel. You're the closest thing to Christ they'll ever see. And so that's why it's so important. And that's why in verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians, it says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then it starts to list some of the byproducts of our flesh unchecked. Anger, rage, contention, sexual improprieties. Those are all the things that our flesh just gravitates to. How do you overcome that? Can I encourage you? We've got a baptism in the Holy Spirit service coming on in 2 weeks. I would encourage you, if you say, I am not getting anywhere with my walk in relationship with it, come get filled with the Spirit. That's what we do. It's what the Bible invites us to do. Be filled with the Spirit. Matter of fact, we have a water baptism service. It's our worship night. We're trying something different. It's going to go off in a big way. Because when people realize, I try, I fail. I succumb, I do good, then I fail. Man, let's get you filled with the Spirit. Watch the Spirit of the Lord lead you into love, joy, peace. How wonderful and how exciting is that? Well, I want to hit the last one. You're like Jesus. Number 5, like Jesus, display patience. I'm going to welcome our worship team up. Look at verse 25. I'm back there at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. How does patience fit in? Well, it really comes down to this. Here's the point. God lets you go and go sow your wild seeds and go and deal in your own rebellious nature. I did that. I remember being born again, even in junior high, and just went off for years. And God was so patient with me. I'm so glad. That's why I want to be like Him, being patient with all people. Because I know God was patient with me when I was not interested in Him, but I always very traumatized. I was fearful of the second coming. Anybody relate to that? I mean, one of the most miserable people on this planet is a backslidden Christian. Don't raise your hand. Don't confess. I'm thinking I'm going to hear the trumpet sound and I'm going to be left behind. But I don't want to give up this stuff because it's fun and I got a reputation if I do this stuff. So I'm just... But I know I should get right with God because He's my Savior and I love Him. But I love this more. But it's a tough one. He's patient with us. But we're like Jesus when we're patient with all. So salvation does require your own act and will. It's amazing how Jesus, if there is a disease, Jesus can heal it. If there's ever a demon, Jesus casts it out. If there's anybody dead, He resurrects them. The only thing that Jesus really can't really meet are people that are unwilling to really yield their lives to Him. That's called our free will. Let's close our Bibles right now. I'm going to come back and pray, and I'm going to invite you to close your Bibles off. We're going to sing a song. We're going to have our altar prayer individuals up here in just a moment. But let's close our Bibles. Let's stand to our feet. Would you join me right now? Let's worship the Lord. Wrapping things up here this morning. You close your eyes just for a moment. I'm inviting you, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, but you know something said or sung is drawing you to the Lord. We have been having people pray for you. It's not an accident you're here. And you're ready to give your life to the Lord. Or you've been away from the Lord, and you've been doing your own thing, but you're ready to just surrender all to Him. Just raise your hand up so I can see it. Put your hand up, just up there. Let me see that. Thank you. One more. Anybody else? Just hands up. Hands up. Just say, you know what? I need to give my life to the Lord. Okay? Thank you. Well, let me just lead in a simple prayer. And you all can just pattern that prayer right after me in case there are others saying, I'm not sure what He's asking, but I know God's moving in my life. Prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me and rose to life, and I confess my sins to You. Forgive me. Come in my life. Wash me clean. No more sins. Help me, Lord, to live for You. I choose to follow You all the way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, I'm excited about that. And if you accepted the Lord at our Welcome Center, we have Bibles there for you. And now that you're a Christian, those individuals that are helping me pray, would you station yourselves up front? I'm going to dismiss you to get out in the courtyard. I'll be out there to greet you as well. But let me just encourage you with this. If you're needing prayer for anything, would you consider coming on up here? Let them know your first name and say, hey, I've been seeking a job, or I'm being challenged, or I just gave my life to the Lord, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it. I've been faltering so many times. I feel like God could be mad at me. Let them just pray those things off, and let's have a peaceful Sunday, And so with that, let me now just speak that blessing over you as we go as well. Okay, Father, we just love you. And we're so grateful, Lord, as we conclude this service. And you've met us in many levels. And Lord, now we're going to take you out to the streets. And Lord, we're going to believe you're equally there with us. You have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So Lord, we will not fear. We will not fear. God is near at hand. Lord, especially for those who have professed faith in you today. And that would include all of us. By reason of our giving, by reason of our worship, by reason of our time around the Word, we believe you, Almighty God, are the one true God. Bless each and every one now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friends. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.